This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pistons, six in a row now, John. How about our basketball team?
It's been a lot of fun. We've talked about this all season long, where the development of Cade Cunningham and the way that this roster was constructed. How many times last year or the last couple of years did we talk about, you know, floor spacing and just getting players for modern day basketball?
Hello.
That it's not just Cade and a bunch of bigs or it's a bunch of points. It's guys that can actually shoot, space the floor, and then we get a chance to see what Cade can actually be. We know he's an all-star, and he, even in the biggest games, before the break, they played Cleveland. They lost that one. They lost it by three, but
he had like 38 points or something.
Yeah, 38 points. Yeah. He was 13 of 13 from the line. He was not great from behind the arc, but he showed up big in a big game. And then you go down to Atlanta and it's kind of the same thing, right? It's a score, like who's got the ball last? Mm-hmm. 148, 143. And I know they had a bit of a buffer, but Atlanta starts coming back and it was just Cade owned that game.
I saw something at the Red Wing game that I don't think I've seen before. In the intermission, people were collecting and congregating and watching the Pistons.
Well, yeah, you haven't seen it before because the last time that was possible, there wasn't even streaming. You couldn't stream the Pistons the last time they were good, reliably.
They have won 31 games this year. It's not a lot, but when you put it in context of it's the same amount of wins as the last 2 years combined, it shows you turnaround that they've had. Yeah, and John, they're in the playoffs right now. We feel much better about their playoff chances than the Red Wings. And you start to get a little excited about having playoff basketball, where you think, how would they match up with the Knicks, who they've beaten twice already this year? Could you imagine a seven-game series with the Pacers, the bad blood between the two? I know we're getting ahead of ourselves, but
Tyrese Halliburton, a trash-talking son of a gun, put him in his place. That would be awesome.
But these are the conversations that we get to start having now because, John, they are putting some distance. They're the sixth seed right now. They have a three-game cushion. And Cade Cunningham is the biggest reason why. John, we did the mountain climber game. How good? Where do you want to stop?
Yeah.
He's all-star. I think he's all NBA right now.
Which level? I think he's probably going to be third team. And that's where, you know, coming out of the break, where a lot of people had him. It, just to see his name in the top 15.
He's 23 years old. He's one of the 15 to 20 best players in the sport. He had 38 yesterday, 12 assists. He had three block shots. He made seven threes. John, with a little bit of spacing, he's able to get those matchups, and he can break apart a defense. He's a bigger guard, so he finishes well at the rim. I've seen that really improve this season. His three-point shot's just as steady as it was a year ago, and when he's hot, I mean, there's no answer for the defense. You can't win. They flanked him with good shooters, Beasley and Hardaway Jr. These are vets. These are proven floor spacers. And in a game like that where you got to go toe-to-toe with Trae Young, Cade Cunningham's better. I mean, that's where we're at right now, is he can carry a team.
Well, he can carry a team, certainly. And now you're starting to feel better about the max contract that he signed. Because before that, it was injury, right? Or it was the team. It was the coach. It was, you know, the structure of the, what they were doing. You never really saw the potential of winning the lottery and getting Cade Cunningham. What did that mean? And now, because there is spacing, because there is some other talent on the floor, he's getting competent coaching and, you know, a general manager, a president of basketball operations that is making it possible for him to develop. You're like, okay, now I can understand why they decided to go with the max.
They've surpassed their preseason win total. They've won more games than the last two combined or will. Everything's been ahead of schedule. And I think it's because Cade's ahead of schedule, but I think it's also a credit to Trajan Langdon and JB Bickerstaff and putting structure around your great player. And now you're right. Now they are in a position where we're going to taste playoff basketball, where Cade is going to get a taste of playoff basketball. And now you become attractive to try to find that number two and then elevate yourself into the contender tier. See, it all starts to fall into place when you have the guy. We spent a long time talking about how stars win in this league and the Pistons haven't had a star. And it's been a long, dark period of Pistons basketball, but the sun has come up.
Well, it has, and you start looking at how do they, okay, they play Chicago and they beat them twice before they go to break. All right, that doesn't do anything. But then when they play with the best teams, now they lost to Cleveland, I already mentioned that, but they didn't look completely outclassed. A game like that last year, you turn that off halfway through the first because you're like, I know how this is going to end, and it's not going to be pretty. Now, all of a sudden, you're intrigued. You stay tuned in, and you think, well, at the end, you got a shot to win a game like that. You put that in a seven-game series. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say they beat Cleveland in a seven-game series, but you could get a playoff series win.
I think they match up well with the Knicks. I don't know that they beat the Pacers in a seven-game series. That team gets under their skin. I'd love to watch it. I think they have a real shot against the Knicks, and that's who they'd play if the season ended today, which is wild that we'd be talking about having a shot to win a playoff series for this basketball team. They've won six in a row, first time since 2015. Like, we can have these conversations.
Do you think if they played the Pacers that Beef Stew could survive the series without a technical?
No.
That's impossible.
Oh, it's a lot.
He might get suspended. A game.
He might get suspended
without a technical. That will be something that JB and this, like, they got to address. You can't. JB talked about it when he was on with us, and I bring this up all the time. When you come back from the break, how do you get a young team that doesn't have a lot of experience, has no experience in the postseason or reaching the postseason? And he mentioned how every single possession matters. And you can't have, especially when you get into the playoffs, a possession that's thrown away because somebody loses their cool.
I've been fascinated that that people aren't like nibbling at this a little bit more. General sports fans, like, look, the Pistons are a victim now of horrible years that they've had forever, apathy, but also I think they're a victim of the status of the NBA.
Yeah.
But if you just wash all that away, wipe the clean slate, and watch how this team's playing, they're everything that I think you would want in a young team that's growing. Like, I'm like, the way they have accelerated win wise, they're 17-8 since the New Year's Day, including New Year's Day. That's when Ivy got hurt. What's going on here? You know, that's winning more than two out of every three games over 25 games. That's not just some streak. Like, they have flipped something here, and they're doing it without one of their key young guys.
Right. They're being consistent. Their winning streaks are longer than their losing streaks. They respond when they lose. And the conversations we're having about them, the tone is very similar to the conversations we're having about the Wings. And it's JB Bickerstaff for the Pistons. It's Todd McClellan for the Wings. How do they respond when they have a bad quarter or a bad period or a bad game?
I think they're in a similar state because I think the Pistons have a player in a game where a superstar matters more than any and can carry you, where the Wings don't have that kind of player like Cade. But I actually think they're in a similar state, and the Pistons are just benefiting from what the NBA is, which is the bottom half of the conference. Just, they're kind of almost like mailing it in at this point versus in the NHL. And it goes back to what PK Subban said last week.
Yep.
You know what? All these teams are fighting and they compete every night. Like, Atlanta really came and competed late in that game last night. I think the Pistons stole a game last night because usually a young team loses that, but they shot so well from three. I mean, Beasley and Hardaway each shot 60% from three, 10 attempts. Cunningham had 10 attempts and shot 70% from three.
Yeah.
You're not going to do that every night.
They scored 148
and
points.
And you're going to lose that game most times and stuff. But I just, their fight, man, their resiliency is impressive. And I feel like people are missing out on it.
I think people are missing out if they haven't paid attention to this team lately. I understand checking out the last decade, 10 plus years, but I don't think you should be checking out right now.
No, and I think Gov makes a good point of the bottom part of the NBA. Like, those teams are all thinking about how do we find a way to get Cooper Flagg versus how do we find a way to get in the postseason. And you look at just the Eastern Conference for the Wings and the competition that they're facing. They're at 64 points right now, two ahead of Ottawa, two ahead of Columbus, who is the first team out. But you go all the way down, Boston, the Rangers, the Islanders, the Canadiens, the Flyers, they're all within 6 or 7 points. Now, I know that that's a lot to make up, but this is also with the feeling that we had a 9-point lead above the cut line last year and lost it. So at this point, you're not out of it. And I guarantee you there are people in the Flyers or the Canadiens that and Boston may be a seller, but there are a lot of people in those and players and coaches in those organizations that believe we can make a push and still get there.
It's harder to make the playoffs in the East in hockey than it is in basketball. But I think part of this is the Wings conversation is fighting to get in. I think the Pistons have graduated to fighting for seeding.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They haven't clinched a spot. There's still 25 games to go. But, John, they're playing well enough where I don't really doubt that they're making the playoffs. And now it becomes a question of seeding.
Yeah, because, okay, making the playoffs, are we talking about just postseason? The
play-in
tournament? They are the last team in a playoff position, not in that play-in tournament. But I think they are, when you look at the teams, I believe that they're closer to Milwaukee and Indiana, the two teams in front of them, than they are to Orlando and Miami, the two teams behind them.
Couple quick ticket techs. Missing Ivy is turning into missing Javi. Well, let's not compare Jaden Ivy to Javi Baez, but it does show a team rallying. What's encouraging to me is they have veteran leadership for when the playoffs do start. That's when Beasley, Hardaway Jr., Harris, and Schroeder make their presence known. Certainly will help them out. Texter says, tell Jim to shut his mouth about the Pistons. Gloating is going to jinx them as he's done with others. Lions, Tigers.
Welcome back.
Red Wings. We'll talk college hoops coming up at 7:35.
The jinx has returned.
If I don't say nice things about the team, I'm a mean hater. If I say nice things about the team, you guys tell me to shut up.